This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and it is a beautiful day to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Is. Thanks for joining us, Salem and Kaiser, Polk County, everybody all from all over the place. Anything from Sheridan to Aurora up the canyon. Thanks for joining us on Newsmakers, and this is your place to get local talk. This is Monday, and we are still reeling and trying to figure out as a community how we had yet another shooting.
I know, right?
How someone lost their lives and... But it's early, reports are early, but seems like you brush somebody wrong in a bar and you're dead. This person is dead. And another one in the hospital, a lot of rash of shootings. It doesn't seem to be like all of them are related, like it's all gang and retribution and this and that. But some sort of confrontation in a bar led to someone leaving the bar and coming back armed and someone is dead. So yeah, we'll report on that later in the week. We're going to talk about some fun things today, starting with talking about the Oregon State Fair.
Yes.
So we're going to go from that and kind of put that in our pocket. And we're going to have to wrestle as a community. What is happening? You know, it's not like we're in the dog days of summer and it's 120 degrees and people are at their, you know, frazzled to the end.
Yeah, losing their minds or something.
Anyway, some other things in the news, and hopefully we'll have time to talk about them, including the escalating costs of the Salem Police Headquarters. That is really the big question and the government quandary of the day. But in the meantime, let's welcome to the studio Dan Cox. Dan Cox is a spokesman for the Oregon State Fair. He's been on this for like 6 years in a row now. And welcome to the studio, Dan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, the State Fair is so fun to live in the Capitol and have everybody come from throughout the state. And some competitors come to the state in terms of the animals and this and that. But families come all over the state to enjoy the concerts, the midway, and all these great activities. So tell us, when does it start and what's new?
Well, I tell you, it is, in fact, the 154th Oregon State Fair. So we're one of America's classic state fairs with a ton of tradition. And this one opens up August 23rd. That's Friday coming up.
How long have we been?
This Friday.
This Friday. That's right. It's right on us. And, you know, we like to describe the fair as the 11 most fun days of the summer. And certainly it's the punctuation at the end of the summer. So we do have a lot of new stuff blended with a lot of the traditional things you've always expected at the Oregon State Fair.
Yeah, it's so fun. And it is fun to people watch a little bit. Sometimes you can just go and walk the grounds and... And some of them just warm your heart because, you know, a kid's getting his first cotton candy or some young man is earning his first girlfriend a prize at one of the competition booths.
He's rubbing on his shoulder because he threw it out.
You know, and one of the great things is when you see someone out in the livestock barn having a conversation with a goat, which happens all the time. There's just, you know, there's a lot of remarkable things happen at the Oregon State Fair. In fact, my father proposed to my mother on the Ferris wheel at the Oregon State Fair.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
That's the kind of place the fair is.
Yeah.
That's how it's always been, and that's how we're going to keep it.
So we've had this fair basically since we've had statehood.
1861 is the first fair. So really close
to years.
Really close to statehood. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. So it starts Friday. Well, this is what we want to know. It's what the listener wants to know, especially since this is KYKN and home to Half Price Oregon. What are the hot deals? What are the days where we get discounts and we get this admission with that admission and all that?
All right. We're going to start with what's happening right now. There's a big discount on admission right now at Safeway Albertson stores. Participating in Safeway Albertson stores up and down the valley. Normal adult admission during the fair is $8 and $6 for kids, but right now you can buy admission for adults or kids for $5 at Safeway stores. The list is on the website, OregonStateFair.org. So that's a great promotion that's happening. Another one that's happening has kicked off is that Wilco Farm stores. You can get discount parking while supplies last with purchase at Wilco Farm stores. And that lasts as long as they've got the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we come to opening day, which is August 23rd, coming right up. Admission is just $2 on opening day.
Oh, that's this Friday, folks. Ooh. Pencil it into your calendar. So, $2.
$2, yeah. Okay. So you take that Safeway discount and you pocket that one for your second visit, and you go on opening day for $2.
All right, so are they limited, that $5 thing at Safeway? Is it before?
It is not limited. It ends at midnight on the 22nd. That's Thursday night.
Oh.
So it goes right up to the deadline, start of the fair. Okay, so we got those two promotions. Then on Monday coming up next week is Kids Day. Kids get in free.
Free is a good cost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so instead of, let's say, would you say it was 8 for adults and 6 for kids?
Normal admission, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Bring your four kids, you just save $24.
Right.
Then on the Tuesday after that, $2 Tuesday.
Right.
$2 okay. Tuesday.
And then
friends taking notes.
And then I got one more for you. On the second Friday of the fair,
uh-huh.
The Friday next week, again, $5 to get in the fair.
So on the 30th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So lots of good promotions. And, you know, the whole idea is we want to offer a ton of value to fairgoers, Oregon families, when they come to the fair. So we want to make it easy, and we want to see their money go as far as it can go.
All right, so there's a lot of good tips there, folks. If you're going to go to Wilco, be sure to get a discount parking ticket, right?
Right.
So how much is that discount? I forgot you had to pay to park.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me
employ all those people in Salem, all those youth that kind of work for the last 2 weeks of the summer before they go back to school, and they're waving you into your parking space. Got to pay them, right?
Got to pay them, yeah. They don't work for food anymore.
Folks, you just consider your parking fee your contribution to employing local youth.
Hey, I forgot one really important thing.
Oh, boy.
Labor Day.
Yeah.
Okay, that is Heroes Day at the Oregon State Fair.
Okay.
So on Heroes Day, active duty military veterans, first responders, and their families get in free.
Nice.
Wow.
And we're doing that on the honor system. We don't check ID. We don't go that far. We're on the honor system here. But for Labor Day, Heroes Day, that's how we salute those who
served our country.
Served the country, yeah. Served the community.
That's nice. Incredible.
Without question.
On Labor Day, folks. So Monday, the last day of the fair. That's a good day to get in free. That's a good day for you to go on your second time and get in free.
Yeah, right?
Or your third time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's so much going on there, you can't do it all in one day.
Oh, heck no.
I mean, you could spend a day just dealing with the awesome carnival. You know, you could spend a day in the livestock.
Well, I can't do the carnival because I'd be, motion sick after one ride. We're talking to Dan Cox. He's a spokesman for the Oregon State Fair. Yes, folks, it is finally here. It's coming upon us this Friday. And Friday is
$2 admission.
$2, right?
$2 admission.
First day. You go the very first day. They suck you in. You're like, I only got to half the things I wanted to, so you can come back on another day.
Right.
You got to suck you in with $2 Friday this week.
And the following Friday is $5 Friday.
That's right.
Yeah.
See? Okay. Discount top parking. You can pick it up at Wilco. If you're going to Safeway or Albertsons, look for the $5 tickets.
Yep. The details are on the Oregon State Fair website, OregonStateFair.org. Everything is there.
Right. Especially, you know, the families. Especially three, four, or five kids, and that really adds up.
And that's
money you can spend on corn dogs or pronto pups, by some people call
or
them.
Or trying to get that stuffed animal in the Midway.
Yeah, or if you're paying for those kids' rides, because those aren't cheap.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I picked beans and berries so I'd have money to go to the state fair.
Really?
Yeah.
How old are you exactly, Dan?
Because I remember doing that too, buddy.
Yeah. We won't go there.
Let's take a quick break and come back with Dan Cox.
All right, I want to talk about the concerts.
Yes.
The music that's going to be out there.
There's a lot more to the
events.
State fair.
All right, stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and our guest in the studio today is Dan Cox. He's a spokesman for the Oregon State Fair, the big one. That was the tagline for like
the
decades.
Big one.
The big one, right?
For years and years. And years.
Many years. It was
That's
Oregon
right.
State Fair, the big one. A local advertising agency actually invented that. Salem Advertising Agency.
Nice.
Stuck with them for a long time. All right. So we're talking about all the fun things at the fair. Dan, why don't you give us an idea? What kind of music is going to be out there?
Well, I'll tell you what. In the LB Day Amphitheater, this is the Columbia Bank Concert Series. We have 9 concerts scheduled throughout the 11 days of the fair.
Wow.
And so it's a great lineup. And I got to tell you, the advance ticket sales have been through the roof.
Oh, my.
So
I haven't bought mine yet. I better go get them.
So we've got the likes on the countryside. We've got Dustin Lynch, who opens up on this Friday the 23rd.
Excellent man.
And a young man named Brett Young, who's got a certain following, a pretty big act there.
He's we've good,
got
too.
Three Doors Down, REO Speedwagon.
What?
Yeah, we've got Steve Miller with Marty Stewart and his
nice.
Fabulous Superlatives, which is a heck of a band name if you ever heard of one. We've got Newsboys. We've got the Commodores.
Nice.
And the Legends of Country Rock on Labor Day. Now, this is a 3-band combo, the Legends of Country Rock. We have Firefall, Pure Prairie League, and Poco together.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And that happens, that's a 4 o'clock show on Labor Day. All of the other concerts are at 7 p.m. And the one I should mention happens Saturday, August 31st. We have the Beach Boys.
Really?
Yeah. And those guys put on a heck of a show. They were here a few years ago, and I tell you what, you close your eyes and listen to that music, and you are back to where you came from.
Right on the beach.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course, now we're at the point where there are a lot of people that weren't there to hear that live. So, Dave, of that lineup, and you can only go to one concert, which one do you pick?
Only one?
You can go to one out of that lineup. Which one do you pick?
I have never seen the Beach Boys, so I might go to that one. I have seen Steve Miller Band, although the 3-band one on Legends of Rock, that might be an interesting one. Because I remember playing Poco and Firefall and those guys on the
with
radio.
With those 3 bands and the 3 bands in one set, it's going to be nothing but hits.
Right.
Yeah.
It's right? Nonstop.
Yeah.
That's fine. For me, it's the Newsboys. And I've seen them before.
Boys.
Yeah. And they're not boys anymore, of
right.
course. But they put on a great show. It's very uplifting. You just, I don't know, you're raising your hands and smiling. It's they put on a really good show.
Yeah, they are billing it as a love riot.
A love riot.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's do a love riot. Although Stephen Miller Band, I've never seen them.
Oh, and he's excellent.
REO Speedwagon.
So oh, that's
right
another
back
one.
To the that, 80s.
If I could,
All right, let's move on. That's at LB Day.
Right. So. And all those concerts, advance tickets are for sale online at OregonStateFair.org. But I'll tell you, too, that for every concert, there's always going to be an allocation of free seats, free with paid admission to the fair on a first-come, first-served basis.
Oh. So that was my next question. If I buy tickets to the concert, do I get it in the fair free?
Yeah, yeah. Only when you buy the advance reserve seat concert ticket, you get a fair admission ticket.
Okay.
Good to know.
All right, folks, double them up. Stay for the concert, get in free. I like it. All right, what about, I know they have other acts under the tent there in the center of the whole, you have acts that come in and perform. And
yeah, well,
that's ongoing, right?
We have multiple stages, entertainment everywhere you turn. One of the new attractions this year, brand new to the fair, is Sea Lion Encounters. Now, this is sea lions, rescued sea lions in the tank performing. And this is a marine conservation education-focused form of entertainment.
Wow.
And it really sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. I haven't seen it myself yet, but I'm looking forward to it. And you just imagine those sea lions just putting on a show.
Is that every day?
Yeah, every day at the fair.
Wow. But you're obviously going to have to slate it into your day calendar, right?
Yeah. Well, that's going to be going on, you know, it's going to be going on the whole time. And just like the All Alaska Racing Pigs, if you haven't seen those guys, they're a hoot. And then out in the garden area, a totally new attraction that's free with admission as well. We call it the Wonderful World of Sawdust. And at the Wonderful World of Sawdust, we have the Paul Bunyan Lumberjack Show.
Nice.
We have axe throwing.
Is Paul going to be there?
I think it's a cousin.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of Paul's cousins.
Axe throwing, chainsaw carving.
Nice.
Great barbecue.
No chainsaw throwing, I hope.
No, no.
Okay,
I think you're
going
to hang on to those chains.
Juggling, maybe.
Yeah. So that is a whole new attraction out there, and we think that's going to be a popular addition this year. A little tip of the hat to Oregon's timber industry and its legacy there, which is still here.
Yeah, maybe we should send Kate Brown out there, and she can realize that the state timber in the state is important.
Sure.
So that's just a political side comment, and Dan does not have to comment. the wonderful
it
world.
It probably fell on deaf ears out there.
Sawdust. All right, so you get axe throwing and chainsaw, and maybe do you get to learn about what they use sawdust for?
Well, I think we'll leave that up to the fairgoers' choice on that one. Okay. But I think that will definitely be entertaining. Also, every day of the fair, we have Dogtown. Have you seen the Dogtown thing? It's been there for a few years now. Mm-hmm. It's extremely popular with fairgoers. These are the dock diving dogs.
Right.
And these guys, these are athletes who fly through the air, land in the water, and they live to catch that thing that's been tossed out for them. And when those shows get going, the bleachers fill up fast, and it's SRO all the way around that tank.
That's really fun. We're talking to Diane Cox, the spokesman for the Oregon State Fair. We were talking about which deals, which way to get in at a discount. We forgot to mention that every day seniors get in for $1, right?
Folks 65 and better get in for $1 every day.
So take grandparents to the fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you want your day off, folks, you send your folks and the grandparents with your kids and
to the fair.
Right.
So then you miss out.
They get in for $1, and the kids, if they go the right day, they get in free on
right. And
Monday.
For $1, you got more money for the corn dogs and elephant ears and all that.
That's true.
All right. So two grandparents get in for $1 on Monday, and all of their grandkids get in free. $2. All the grandkids.
That's true.
Plus, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
there you
awesome.
Go. You were thinking.
You got to figure it out.
All right. Hey, people like a deal.
Yes, they do.
And when you're trying to, pay for the family, people are looking for a deal. Well, that's awesome.
Right.
All right. What about the pavilion?
The pavilion, which is the newest building on the fairgrounds, when you consider we're 154 years old, we have two buildings, by the way. We have one that's turning 100 this year. It's the Historic Horse Stadium.
Yes.
That's a big deal. And we have one turning 100 in 2 years, the poultry barn. But the pavilion, which is the newest one, has a really special activity going on the weekends. We call it Weekends in the Pavilion. Mm-hmm. So on that first Saturday of the fair, we have the belt buckle battle. This is rodeo, like you've never seen it before. This is professional team rodeo. So you can have four teams of professional cowboys. Each team is comprised of four cowboys and a cowgirl. And we're bronc riding, we're bareback riding, we're barrel racing, and we're bull riding, right?
Wow.
And the teams they're wearing team colors, and this is all about audience participation in the pavilion. So where you sit in the pavilion determines which team you root for by color.
Nice.
Okay. So it's very interactive. This is free with admission to the fair. Happens at 2:00 on Saturday the 24th. So that's belt buckle battle. You don't want to miss that one. This is real rodeo, but it's quite like you've never seen it before.
Nice.
Then the next day, we have a jaripeo, which is a Mexican bull riding style rodeo, also free with admission. That's also at 2:00, so that's on Sunday, the first Sunday of the fair. Then you go down to Labor Day weekend, and then on Saturday, Sunday, we have monster trucks and tough trucks in the pavilion.
Ah, okay? Muscle.
Loud, big.
Yeah.
Awesome, flying through the air.
That pavilion is really it's really flexible in kind of things that it can house.
It's very, very versatile. It'll be full of dirt for these, though, right?
Yeah. So, I don't want to be the person that has to fill it full of dirt or haul out all the dirt out.
Right.
Because they do concerts in there, and they do horse shows and all sorts of things.
And banquets. There's always something going on in the pavilion. But this year, we wanted to do something special in the pavilion for the weekend. So, again, these are free with admission events. In addition to those monster trucks Saturday, Sunday, Labor Day, Monday, we have a classic demolition derby.
Nice.
This is the ultimate guilty pleasure sport.
Sure.
Cars crashing into each other. That happens at 12:30 on Labor Day.
Is that sponsored by the local chiropractic association?
That would be a good connection. But
local auto wrecker is who that sponsors that.
And I think if I were to participate in that, I'd definitely use a remote control car.
Right.
I'd rather get in there and get bashed around.
You don't want to get hit in the car? Come on.
No, I don't. I don't mind the car getting hit. All right. So let's talk a little bit about attendance. So you've been around the fair back and forth for decades, right? We're talking to Dan Cox, by the way. He's the spokesman for the Oregon State Fair. In his recent job, he's been here about 6 years as a spokesman. And how's attendance trend been for the last 5 or 6 years?
Well, you know, the fair was reorganized starting in 2014, and it had been on a bit of a downward trend prior to that. And you just can imagine that over the decades that this fair has been going on, the degree of competition for the entertainment dollars has skyrocketed like you wouldn't believe. I was around when the LB Day Amphitheater was first constructed in the mid-'80s, and at the time, that amphitheater was unique in Oregon for outdoor entertainment. And more recently, the last time I made an attempt to count, I counted 30-plus outdoor music venues within our marketing area. So the competition for the entertainment dollar has really stepped up. And you could also perhaps assign a little bit of drift away from the agricultural life in the general population toward the suburbs and the cities. And so there were some pressures on the fair. So the fair got reorganized by the legislature. It is now a public corporation, which means it's owned by the state, the land's owned by the state, but it operates more like a regular business. And because of that, the fair leadership has been able to make decisions, business decisions, in a more business-like way, more nimble, more able to respond to opportunities. And one of the happy consequences is that we are now on a nice 5-year upward trend on attendance. And you know, this for those of us who just love the state fair, it's a happy thing to know that this piece of Oregon tradition gets to live on. It's got to perform. It's got to draw. It's got to be a business. It's got to actually show the ability to make money and be self-sustaining. And that's what it's working toward. So the trend is good. We have good support in the legislature and the governor's office for the future of the fair, and I think people should be optimistic about the future of the Oregon State Fair to go well beyond 154 years. The only thing is people got to come and partake.
Come out. If you want to have a state fair, then come out and support the state
fair. That's right.
So the state still owns the land, obviously, and it's a great asset, folks, in our community in terms of all the different things. I went Friday night, actually, to Pairings. I was out on the fairgrounds. We'll talk about that hopefully before the hour's out. So the year round, and now they're able to take more better opportunity of the spaces and release out more spaces and have more events. And the state fair is on an upward trend. And it sounds like there's less red tape and more entrepreneurism happening.
That's a good way to describe it.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking to Dan Cox. He's a spokesman, Oregon State Fair. It starts this Friday. This first day, you can get in for $2. Plus, there's something Friday night, a concert Friday night kicking off at LB Day.
Dustin Lynch Friday night, yes.
Yeah, I can't believe you have 11 concerts at LB Day Amphitheater out of, 9 concerts in 11 days.
Right.
Wow.
That's impressive.
And some good names there. So $5 tickets you can pick up at Safeway. You can get discount parking if you stop at Wilco. Monday, a week from today, folks. You'll have to take your portable radios to listen to Newsmakers because take your kids in because kids get in free next Monday.
Right.
And $2 Tuesday. So many opportunities to save some money. The entertainment is constant and ongoing. Those dog thing is amazing. Those dogs are just a delight. Life's got you stressed out, go watch those dogs jump in the pool. Sawdust, the world of sawdust. So many things. Hey, what about one more thing? Sponsorships. People are more willing to shell out dollars and sponsor things at the fair. Is it kind of growing in that regard as well?
Yeah. If you consider the fair as a business. Mm-hmm. So, and like any business, you look for multiple revenue streams. Sponsorship is one of those. And it is also on the uptick. And so, yes, companies, local companies are happy to be part of the Oregon State Fair. You mentioned, the landscaping folks who,
Green Acres.
Yeah. They're one of our sponsors. Awesome. Yep. And they're the ones who make our gardens look so awesome.
Awesome.
There are many examples like that.
They're our sponsor, too.
All right. We're going to take a break. Stick with us, our Newsmakers. We've got more to come on this fabulous Monday with Brent and Dave, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. Welcome back to the Monday edition of Newsmakers.
Welcome back. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and we just got done talking with Dan Cox about the Oregon State Fair. Let's turn to a little bit of news coming out of the Salem Reporter. It's actually a very nice news article, very in-depth, and took months to kind of gather
that's
all the
depth.
Information.
That's yeah. in-depth.
Yeah, we can't take this for granted. There was a great kind of opinion, short opinion piece, or if not a, just a letter out by the publisher, the Salem Reporter. Less sites.
Yeah.
And about how some communities are losing their news outlets. They're losing their ability to have anybody publish locally, do reporting locally, a lot of small and medium size across the nation in this trend. And if we want to have this, then we need to support Salem Reporter, Statesman Journal, if you like the Statesman Journal. Although Gannett, of course, went through a recent merger with another company. So now it's the same large company that does the Salem Statesman Journal and the Eugene paper and this and that. And it's more, of course, connected to USA Today. And are we losing the local things?
Right.
I mean, just look at how much coverage we get, even for the Volcanoes, our one professional sports franchise, right? Much less, we used to be able to see kids' local sports in the Statesman Journal and local articles. And anyway, we don't want to take it for granted. So thank you, Salem Reporter, Troy Brandelson. About the Salem Police Headquarters, you know, we've talked a little bit about this with the mayor and how costs have escalated, and it's escalating a huge percentage, really. I mean, we're talking about $11 million more than the amount that the voters approved the bond measures for.
What?
$11 million. That is a lot of dough.
How did that happen?
Well, that's a very good question.
Nobody knows?
I voted yes on the first one when they were asking for, I think, $80 million. And then they did some shrinking of size and some, they call it value engineering and what we're going to do without this. And we're not going to move the 911 center and so forth. However, and honestly, usually they pad these budgets.
Right.
Usually if they say 62, they think they can do it for about, 25% less than that. And they account for, and that's prudent, they account for cost overruns and change orders and things like that, so they don't have to go back to the voters, and they don't have this situation.
Right.
But $11 million on a $62 million bond measure, that is really hard to come up with. As a percentage, that's extraordinary. So everything is going up in cost because it was approved like 2 years ago, right? And now...
But $11 million more?
Yeah. Bricks, carpenters. So they were behind the curve, I think, in estimating how much construction costs were escalating at the time. And, you don't have a, in their defense, I suppose, you don't have a crystal ball. But, wow, this is hard to swallow, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And so here's an example. Cabinets, just the cabinets in the building. Just where you stow your stuff.
Okay.
Office supplies to police officer supplies and so forth. The cabinets are going to cost $721,000. It's twice what they budgeted for cabinets. And they're still like, well, we'll leave doors off this one. We're going to cut back in this room, half of the many cabinets in this room. And maybe we'll just do stock cabinets and not built-in cabinets because it saves money. So they're trying to save money in bringing these standards down. And it's still... $721,000 in cabinets, right? They've eliminated one-third of the electrical outlets, which to me is a little short-sighted.
What?
Yeah, because for everyone, it would be forever trying to find, I need more electrical outlets. But
yeah, no kidding. Especially in today's age of recharging your phones and things like that.
$6.8 million in electrical costs is $300,000 more than they had estimated. $300,000.
Wow.
So you can see how $11 million. So out of this is the part for me that gives me the most heartburn is they've taken $5.3 million that's planned for other downtown projects away from the urban renewal fund and brought it into the police facility.
To try and cover the cost?
Now, I get it, folks. I can't say... that if I were a city councilor, I wouldn't have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this gives me the biggest amount of question marks. It's urban renewal money. It's not facility new facility yeah. construction money. Yeah. It's not capital improvement money in that regard. And that money should have been earmarked for a different downtown project. How you do that, how you divert $5.3 million away from projects in an urban renewal area, and we're going to just push it over here, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. That's, you know, that should have been an enormous undertaking because if you're not familiar, an urban renewal district is its own government. It is its own governance, and it is their money.
Right.
Okay? The only thing that makes this easy, folks, is that in Salem, our urban renewal district is governed by the same 8 people who sit on city council.
That would be a conflict of interest.
That's what I'm saying. So they owe the urban renewal taxpayers, the people who paid in, to follow the plan. You know what wasn't in the plan? It wasn't in the plan to put $5 million into the police facility.
True.
Was not in the plan. But you took it out of the plan. Now, if these were 8 different individuals, you think this would have happened?
No.
No. That's like saying, hey, school district, I know you're going to do this, you know, extension to Robert Roberts School or something like this, and this is $5 million project. We're going to take that from you, and we're going to put it into this police facility. It's the same thing, theoretically, because it is its own government. It is an urban renewal agency with 8 directors for the urban renewal agency. They just happen to be the same people that sit on city council.
Now, how did that happen?
It's not unusual. It's not unusual. And
it seems like a conflict of interest.
It does in this situation.
Salem City Council Urban Renewal District. Yeah.
So, and people might think, and the mayor will accuse me of using semantics and, you know, but functionally this, that. It's usually if you change what you're going to spend the money on in an urban renewal district, it's a huge public process to change the plan, to add a project to the plan, and so on and so forth. So,
well, here's an idea. Let's ask the mayor tomorrow.
Maybe we'll ask the mayor.
Nope, not maybe. We will.
We'll ask the mayor. Anyway, they're also diverting money from transportation projects, I think, other operations for the police and the public works department and so forth. So, folks, it's just costing more.
Yeah.
Everything's the cabinets, the electrical, the bricks. There's a segment about the bricks. And there is a police facility council committee. There's 4 counselors on it, and they are the ones that are discussing this in a public forum. And if you want to weigh in on this, and that's who you talk to. But just there was a good example. It's like if you bought eggs 3 years ago and it was $3, right? This is the example. This is coming out of talking about the increases of metal siding,
right?
It's like your eggs costing $3 3 years ago, now they cost $5.
Right.
Right. Well, 3 years ago when we voted on this, we didn't know that this siding was going to go up by, you know, 4% every 3 months, just ratcheting up. Every time they try to get a new bid on something, you know, it's almost like you're going to hurry up and bid it before it gets even worse.
Wow.
But that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Well, there's more to talk about with this, and I'd love to talk about another segment. We got another guest coming in, so we're going to take a quick break. And finish up your hour, okay? Hey, we'll talk more about that with the mayor tomorrow on Tuesday, but stick with us for the rest of the hour. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Morn on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and just a quick little math from the previous segment.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You're all about the numbers.
Yeah. It's almost an 18% overrun on the police facility in terms of
18%.
Yeah, and climbing. So we might end up paying, an extra dollar for every $5.
Wow.
If it gets to 20% over.
That's crazy.
All right. We welcome to the studio Robert Chandler. Robert is here on behalf of the Rotary Clubs of Salem about something coming up in September you're all going to want to be familiar with. Robert, welcome.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming in.
Yes, thank you.
And Robert, in his day job, he does work for Salem Public Works, but you're really here because you're a member of the Rotary, right?
That's correct.
All right. So Salem Rotary, multi-sport. That's a great title. Just throw it in there. It's kind of interesting. Multi-sport, Riverfest.
That's correct.
All right. This is coming up next month. Tell us a little bit about it.
So the Salem Rotary Multisport River Fest is September 15. It's a Sunday morning. And we call it multisport. We have 11 different events. And we like to think we have something for everyone. It includes everything from a triathlon, where our triathletes swim in the Willamette River, mm-hmm. and bike as far as the Independence Bridge and back, and of course run on Minto Brown Island Park, to a family fun run, which we think is around half a kilometer. We're not quite sure, but it starts at Riverfront Park. You go past the bridge and around the world once, twice, three times maybe, and then back again, you get a ribbon.
Okay, so a 0.5K.
Roughly.
That sounds like mine.
You're welcome to sign up. Registration's
available.
I might
just do that, yeah.
All right, so people get out and get on their feet, enjoy some camaraderie and some competition.
Yes, it's a tremendous amount of fun for anybody who wants to come up. Last year, I was the vice chair, so I didn't have to run the thing, conduct the thing. So I decided, having told everybody for months that anybody can saunter through a 5K, that I should probably literally put my mouth where my feet where my mouth is. Uh-huh. And so I signed up for a 5K last year. So anybody can do this. I signed up for a 5K. Google is a wonderful thing. How to prepare for a 5K in 4 weeks. Uh-huh. I was ready, and then I decided, why not do a 10K? So I did a 10K instead and had a ball.
Wow. That's great.
That's impressive.
Well, the 5K, I mean, people can walk that, right?
Yes.
It's about an hour walk on a decent pace.
And to encourage anybody to sign up, and sign up is at our website, which is, hang on, shameless.
Shameless plug.
www.rotaryriverfestsalem.org.
RotaryRiverFestSalem.org.
Or Google Rotary Triathlon Salem will come up.
Okay, so this is a combined Salem Club and South Salem Club.
That's correct.
How long has this been going on?
This is the third annual event. Our first year we called it the Salem River Run and the Salem Rotary Triathlon, and it got a little confusing, both marketing with two different events, sets of events, one name kind of, so we called it multisport. Because it is multi-sport.
And
so
all these things are taking place on one day?
Yes, yes. One day, we like to look at it as three parks, two bridges, one river.
Nice.
One day, three parks, two bridges, one river.
That's correct.
That is awesome. All right, by the way, this is on September 15th, Sunday, September 15th. Is this a spectator thing, or do you expect people to come out and just participate?
Oh, please come out and watch. I mean, you can watch the runners. I was starting to talk about the 5K being something for everyone. We'll have the fast runners who kind of, you feel a sonic boom going as they go past you. But also, and I'm not making this up, registered already for the 5K is the president of the Rotary Club of South Salem. She will be pushing a stroller into which will be Evelyn, her chihuahua. So
nice.
Between both sets of runners, you'll find a place.
All right. So we have people just doing it for fun and people who might be doing it actually to win.
Yes.
Right. And so there's a 5K, there's a triathlon. And where do you swim? Where do they decide to get in and out of the river?
So the triathlons is a swim, mm-hmm. bike, run. The athletes begin at Wall Spring Park at the boat ramp. They enter and will exit the water at the boat ramp, and they swim roughly a triangular course. They go across the Willamette River, upstream near adjacent to the Minto Brown Island, and then back again to the boat ramp. 750 meters as a sprint distance athlete, 1,500 meters if you're doing the Olympic distance.
Hmm. Okay. So,
if you're a triathlete, you transition to a bike. And the bike ride will take you across the Union Street Bridge. You'll touch the top of Riverfront Park and then eventually find yourself on River Road South. And if you're doing the sprint distance, that's 20 kilometers, you turn around roughly where Homestead Road comes back out, mm-hmm. at River Road. If you're doing 40 kilometers, you will go all the way down to the Independence Bridge, cross under the bridge on the on-ramp, and then back to Riverfront Park.
Wow.
And then the run is 5 or 10K, again, cross the Peter Courtney Bridge, Minto Brown Park.
Yep, for that, Dave?
No.
40K? No.
No.
All right. Did you sign up for that one?
I did not.
Is there a 4-week training for this kind of?
I think Google would fail us on that one.
I think it's a 9-month training course.
If you've never done a 5K, folks, and it sounds daunting, there's actually something, and you can Google this, but there's Couch to 5K.
Yes, there is.
Couch to 5K thing going in. And actually, if you're going to walk it and not worry about sprinting it and beating somebody else, it's a doable goal.
Yeah.
And everybody who registers and starts and finishes gets a finisher medal. I will show this to you. I was joking to the crew here that I brought a visual aids to a to a radio interview, but
wow.
I'll let those guys.
That is a hearty thing.
That can be used as a weapon.
That's huge.
That's not a can opener.
I like how they use the beautiful new bridge design
into
the logo.
So do you guys want to try to describe it? You're the experts.
Well, it looks like a huge gear. And its thing is big. It's like,
it's like a big rotary. Yeah, big rotary gear about 3 inches wide. And it has the new bridge right in the middle with some clouds on top. And it says Salem, Oregon in white and below it.
We are talking about Rotary Multisport Riverfest on the 15th of September coming up. Robert, why do you do it?
I don't know why. It's just in my nature. Actually, it's in the nature of all the volunteers just to do good things for the community. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, although it is a Rotary-presented event, about two-thirds of the volunteers are non-Rotarians. Of my planning team of about 10 to 12 people, half are non-Rotarians. It's an amazing community-supported event. I have 20 different sponsors who have been cash sponsors and another 20 who have provided in-kind support, either food or drink, or the Willamette Valley Woodturners has provided the champion awards for the triathletes. So it's just, you know, part of our community, I think our character of our community is volunteer. Mm-hmm, and you see that throughout the Salem area. And this is just one of many opportunities to get involved.
Is it a fundraiser of any kind for you guys?
It started as a vision to be a fundraiser. The past 2 years, we have more or less broken even. So we've made it kind of transition from a Rotary fundraiser into this is a Rotary-sponsored community event.
Got it.
And what does it cost to participate?
It depends on what you sign up for, and I did not bring the prices. The family fun run is, I think, $15. The 5 or 10K, depending on whether you're a youth or an adult, is $30 to $60, somewhere around that area. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a triathlete or duathlete, that is, I think we're approaching $90 to $100.
Okay.
A quick note about the duathlon, because if you want to try to be a multi-sport athlete, but you'd really rather not swim in the Willamette River, the duathlon is a run bike run.
Okay.
So you run about a mile to spread the field, and then you do the same bike course as the triathletes and the same run course as triathletes, but you don't get your feet wet.
Hmm. Interesting. I like that better.
Yeah, I'm
for
sure.
For me, yeah.
Hey, you guys can make a team.
Right?
Could we do like tag team it?
Yeah. You run.
Well, let's not fail to mention your gold sponsors, Vanatta Public Relations, of course, and Mary Louise Vanatta is a friend of the station, of course.
Yes, she is.
The City of Salem, of course, is listed as one of the sponsors. Lewis Design, Salem Electric, and Salem Health. And I noticed that Salem Health has sponsored the Family Fun Run.
That's correct.
That's nice.
We also have 20% discount for military and first responders.
That's right. Rotary is all about service, and we want to recognize the service providers, both first responders and current and past members of the uniformed services. 20% discount.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to go here in a minute, but Robert Chandler, we want to thank you to the service of the community. I know you're already working for the city, right, and Public Works. We really like Public Works here, so... good luck to you. We'll have you back on and see how it goes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us.
September 15th.
All right, September 15th. This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave. Let's do it again tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.